It's time for Talkin' Music on your Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. I am Taya J. I'm joined today all the way from London, England, by Lou Rhodes and Rowan Heath of the musical duo Kyoto. Welcome to you both.
Hey there. Hey, hello. Colorado. Hey, KVNF.
It's so much fun to talk to people in other places. I just love it. It makes me feel connected to the world in a really great way.
Yeah, it's very cool. We're at our kitchen table in North London.
But really what I want to be doing is fly fishing in Colorado. But I can but dream.
Right? You just sometimes you can't have it all.
No. I'll get there one day.
Yep, absolutely. Well, we would love to have you in this part of the state. I know that the two of you shared roots in Manchester's early 90s music scene, but you didn't really interact or connect until 2021, and your collaboration began at a time when you had both taken a step back from producing music, and you were both focused on writing. Lou, you had begun an MA in poetry, and Rowan, you were writing a novel, but
that's right.
Something about your connection brought you back to music. What do you think that was, if you had to distill it down?
I think we both thought we'd finished with music, but it hadn't finished with us. We kind of started hanging out and became a couple and became inseparable. And I had a piano in my kitchen. I've got a place out in the countryside in the southwest of England. And Rowan was just playing the piano. I'd been listening to a lot of music over lockdown, even though I hadn't been involved with music for a little while. And you know, I'd been playing that music to Rowan, and then he started playing piano that was a kind of inspired by some of the music we were listening to together. And And it's kind of like it just started to pull us in, and we kept saying, no, we shouldn't write music together.
You know, as a couple, do you write music? It can all get a bit much, but no, it just
wouldn't let us go.
Yeah, there was a synergy in our music writing that kind of everything that we felt that everything we'd done up to now has led to this project. Yeah. We've been doing music for a long time.
Yeah.
I talk to a lot of musicians who talk about, and you're touching on this, the amount of creative work that gets done when you're not actively doing the creative work, when you're, you know, in the kitchen cooking, when you're taking a walk, when you're washing dishes. How do you respond to that? What's your relationship to the time that you're not actively creating?
Oh, that's so important. I think that's, for me especially, I think that's essential time. I think so much of the work is done kind of off duty, and I'm really into cooking as well. So I'll quite often have a song idea and just be kind of, you know, have it on a back burner in my mind.
I guess it's like love, isn't it? It strikes when you least expect it, when you stop looking for it.
And you can't force the creative process. So those times are really, you know, the times of kind of off the sort of,
when we go watching, looking at dogs.
Looking at dogs on the heath, yeah. And we'll quite often find that we're out walking and we'll both start singing the same melody, like a melody that we've just been working on or whatever.
I suppose that's when you subconsciously connect rather than trying to, we've written one song on the second album, well, for our new batch of songs, and it's called Lost Map. And the song kind of almost wrote itself in between. It kind of, the biggest chunks of it got written the moment we took our eye off trying to write it.
Mm. Yeah. Such an important reminder. Well, before we talk about the second album, let's talk about you just released your debut album as a duo titled As Dust We Rise. This record took shape on a trip to Louisiana. Can we talk a little bit about what brought you to Louisiana and how place helped to shape the sound of the record?
Yeah, so we decided to take it was winter and we wanted to go somewhere warm. So I just found out that I'd done a DNA test and found out that some of my roots were from in the deep south in Mississippi. And I think Louisiana. So we decided to go to Mexico for Day of the Dead and then have a road trip up to Louisiana. And we hit New Orleans and the place just so resonated with us. I mean, we've always had a kind of love. You know, America looms really large for us in kind of musical terms, just because of the musical history of the country. So we've always been drawn like magnets to it. So Louisiana was the place.
It was somewhere we hadn't been. I think we'd both toured the States, but quite often that part of the country is missed out on tours. You do East Coast and West Coast and you miss the Deep South, you know. And it felt like a sort of musical missing point, you know, that somewhere we needed to explore. And we found ourselves there and found that, you know, that really sort of started to focus our ideas.
Waiting till summer comes, you wrap me up in your warmest clothes, rocking the winter wind. It's all the same to me. It's all the same to me. And as the day begins, you bring the sounds that I'm singing in, breathing in melody. It's all the same to me. It's all the same to me. 'Cause you say the sea and I say the ocean. Falling in love is the finest emotion. I say the sea and you say the ocean. all the same to me. Living the way we do, pieces of me find a home in you. Lapping upon the shore, it's all the same to me. It's all the same to me. 'Cause you say the sea and I say the ocean. Falling in love is the finest emotion. I say the sea and you say the ocean. It's all the same to me. 'Cause you say the sea and I say the ocean. Falling in love is the finest emotion. I say the sea and you say the ocean. It's all the same to me. 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 It's all the same to me.
We just heard The Sea from Kyoto, Lou and Rowan of the band joining me today from their home in London, right here on Talkin' Music. I've heard you describe the record as one that doesn't shy away from big themes of life. And I'm wondering if we can talk about some of those big themes of life.
There's a lot, of sort of the big, when you talk about big themes, it's kind of life and death. You know, the album starts with talking about birth, being, you know, the conditions of birth in Hem. I was born in the living room. My mama nearly died there, and which is a kind of true story, imbued with some poetic license. And you know, there's a lot of death on the album, which is, you know, obviously in a lot of cultures that's a taboo subject. I guess we, you know, we'd been to Mexico and been in a country that deals with death very differently to a lot of the West.
Well, they celebrate it.
They celebrate it. It's part of life, you know. It's in a way, you dig deeper into life when you know that death is so real.
Yeah.
And you know that it's something that is something that can't be avoided. That we sort of sterilize it out of existence in the West, I think. So that's a lot of what the album's about. It's about not shying away, not being squeamish about the stuff that people quite often don't want to talk about, and particularly don't want to talk about in music.
There's also some positive.
When
we talked about Quilt.
There's the song Quilt. I guess it touches on death as well, but it's in a very beautiful way, because we heard a story about a woman who made a quilt out of her dead husband's work clothes so that she could hold him close at night. And so it's kind of it's a really beautiful love song in a way. But, you know, a bit kind of, you know, again, not afraid to kind of look at the sort of darker side of love. And
we like the challenge of writing a love song called About a Quilt. We don't shy away from the difficulties.
That rings very true. I think what you're describing in many ways is life, right? It's complicated. It's nuanced. You can feel multiple feelings or emotions at any given time, and it's not a sterile experience, and you can be experiencing grief and experience great joy at the same time. And I think that the power of songwriting, it seems like, and music especially, is you have that creative freedom to be able to touch on some of those larger issues. I love the idea of describing a song like a Trojan horse, that you can sort of tuck messages or tell stories within the context of a larger thing. And I think that, you know, what's also unique about music and songs is that you can set out with the intention to have it be a certain way or tell a certain story, and the listener is going to interpret that in their own personal way, and they may resonate with the way you intended it to be, or they may take it and make it their own based on their own experiences.
Absolutely. And it's something that I'm a mad fan of Neil Young, and I have spent so much of my life singing his songs, And a lot of them I've kind of dug deeper into the meaning, and a lot of them I've never quite understood the meaning. And I quite like that, because one day I will explore it. But in the meantime, I maybe get the top veneer of the song, and that can be enough. Or yeah, it's like a lifelong relationship for me with, you can have with a song, and it can mean different things to you in different times and of your life, and resonate in different ways depending on where you are at in life.
It's kind of the joy of being a songwriter, in a way, the fact that you can't control how people are going to listen to your songs and how they're going to interpret them. So, you know, whatever we put into our songs, whatever meaning we imbue them with, people are going to just make them mean something else in their own lives.
Well,
you know?
It's when you release an album, it's giving birth, basically. Yeah. The kind of recording and writing is the gestation period, and the releasing album of the album is the giving birth, at which point, at some point, it takes its own trajectory and you lose control of what people, you know, you can't, it's like you can't.
Like children going off into the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nicely said. Well, with that in mind, the album's been out, what, 10 days now? It's been birthed. It's 10 days old out there in the world. Yes. How is it feeling for you both?
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, we kind of put out a call across socials to what people's favourite tracks were on the album. And we got all sorts, you know, people said so many lovely things and what different tracks meant to them. And it was lovely hearing the variety and response to each track was so different for different people. And it reflects exactly what we just said. People take away what they want from it. And that was for me one of the most rewarding points of the and meeting people who want the album signed and to write something special, because it's, you've made a human connection rather than just put out a bit of music. You know, long gone are the days where you write a song and you hope it gets into the charts. We've given up and we don't really care about all that. Now it's about proper human connection.
It's felt like quite a long gestation period, even though actually it was relatively quick, I think, compared to many people's experience of releasing records. But, you know, we released three singles before the album came out. And so people get to hear the sort of more commercial tracks. And for us, it's about the other tracks that they haven't heard, you know. And so we were dying for them to... Yeah. It's almost like you feel like they don't hear the full body until they hear your full body of work. They don't really understand the project, you know. They just hear it's like the shop front, you know.
Yeah, you're singles. Right. Yeah,
and then you get to share the full story when the album comes out.
The engine room in the basement,
exactly,
and the loft.
When the world understands.
That's Song for Bill off Kyoto's debut album, As Dust We Rise. Lou and Rowan of the group joining me today. My favorite thing about doing interviews like this is just to listen to, I love the final product and it's amazing, but it's also very cool to talk to people about the process of getting to the final product. You know, what went into the creation of this well, that's, body of art.
That's really interesting because it's a movable feast. I think that's what's so wonderful about what we do, because every song changes. So, you know, we have trumpet players, we have flugelhorn players, we have live bass players, drummers, a violinist on the album. So it's always, every song we have to approach in a different way. And some songs take on their own life, and some songs are recorded very roughly. Some songs are recorded beautifully and with every kind of nuance recorded. Each song has a different personality, and we have to approach to understand our own songs. We have to approach it, each one differently. And so there is no magic formula. And if there was a magic formula, I think we'd get bored.
With that in mind, what songs are resonating for each of you on the album right now? And I imagine that changes and evolves, and, you know, we play in different places and it has a different reception. Yeah. But for both of you right now, what are the ones that are really just feeling right?
We love Song for Bill. Song for Bill, it's the jazziest song on the album. It's kind of inspired by Alice Coltrane and Bill Evans. It's just, there's something, it's the first, I think probably the first song we wrote. It just has something in it that's deep, that it's kind of, sometimes Lou and I always say it's like the song, we didn't write it, it was kind of delivered and dropped.
Through us, yeah.
Yeah, channeled through us.
It feels like it's the centerpiece of the album in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of draws all the other songs together in some way. So I wanted to talk about Hem as well, because it opens the album and it also opens our shows at the moment. And there's something about that song that is very, that we talked about Bill Evans being the centerpiece, but I think Hem is also really important in setting the tone for the record. And I don't know, there's something about this repeated voice that's just going throughout the whole song. It just builds and builds and builds, and it's got a very unconventional structure, and yeah, live it really sets up the show, and I think it really sets up the album as well.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Love that. Thank you for sharing that. What do you hope for in putting this album out into the world? What's your hope?
I guess really, I think Rowan just touched on the fact that, you know, we're really not concerned with having hits or anything like that. I think the music industry has changed so much with, you know, digital streaming and all of that. And, you know, some of that, you know, entails the sort of newer generations of music listeners are so much less invested in music. You know, they don't have to save up to buy records and go out to the record store and collect records. You know, they just stream it, and there's no commitment there, and there's no digging deeper. All of that kind of stuff that I guess, you know, in days gone by people used to do, and, you know, I guess Rowan and I are of that age where we used to do that. But I think in terms of our record going out there, speaking for myself, I just want people, you know, as widely as possible to hear it and to feel it the way they need to feel it, and to understand it on whatever level, you know. It just, it is like sending your children out into the world. And so I want them to be received gently and openly with open minds and hearts.
Thank you both so much for making time to share about the record, to share about the process. Congratulations on the release of your debut duo album. Such a pleasure to chat with you both.
We're so happy you had us on.
That was Lou Rhodes and Rowan Heath of the musical duo Kyoto, celebrating the release of their debut album, As Dust We Rise. We're going to go out with their song Quilt, the final track on the album. For more Talkin' Music programming, you can visit our website, kvnf.org, or you can find us on our mobile app. I'm your host, Taya J. Thanks, as always, for listening. Oh,
tears don't lie. The tears don't lie. See you in heaven by and by. See you in heaven by and by.